Coming up on today's show, the Mercedes EQC is seen in some new spy shots with a new livery. The second Renault Electric Experience Centre opens, and Japan launches a new solid-state battery project. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Hello and a very warm welcome. It's Tuesday, the 19th of June, and this is your edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Starting with Tesla, and a story that I've steered away from over the last 5 days. You probably know about it already, but I do have an update, so bear with me. This was a random video uploaded to Twitter, and for anyone who knows the background to this, it was a Tesla Model S belonging to the husband of the West Wing actress, Mary McCormack. Now, the video, posted on Twitter last Friday, shows a Tesla Model S parked down the side of the street in Santa Monica Boulevard in Los Angeles, and it has jets of flames shooting out from underneath to the side of it as well. It looks really strange, actually, unlike any other video I've seen of an EV fire. And as you can imagine, well, there aren't many of them to start with, but if one makes its way onto the internet over the last few years, me more than most have been looking at them and studying them. I'm kind of obsessed about electric vehicles. And this doesn't, there's something that doesn't look right to my eyes. The way that the flames are coming out, the way that we know the Tesla skateboard is designed. However, a full investigation, we now know, is underway. Tesla have just issued a statement, and it's this. This is an extraordinarily unusual occurrence, and we are investigating the incident to find out what happened. Our initial investigation shows the cabin of the vehicle was totally unaffected by the fire due to our battery architecture, which is designed to protect the cabin in the very rare event of a battery fire occurring. While our customer had time to safely exit the car, we are working to understand the cause of the fire, and we're glad our customer is safe, end quote. Well, Tesla has made 300,000 cars, and they've travelled, in total, 7.5 billion miles. And if you look at the amount of car fires per billion miles travelled, Tesla has only 5 incidents, of all the cars they've made, 5 incidents of a fire per billion miles travelled. Well, the US Federal Highway Administration shows there are 55 fires per billion miles travelled if you look at all other cars. And so, clearly, driving an electric car, and a Tesla specifically, is far safer than sitting on top of a tank of highly explosive liquid. Look, whenever you package energy into a contained space, you are adding a percentage point of risk. And I'm not overly happy about riding on top of a big tank of petrol, but we've been doing it for years. I'm much happier to be sitting on top of an energy store of batteries, because we know the statistic shows it's far safer. And then the reason I've not touched this story, first of all, the video doesn't look right to me. I'm not for a minute saying it's fake, because it's clearly a well-known actress who's posted this video online, but it looks weird to my eyes. So I haven't touched it because something didn't ring true with it. But now Tesla have issued a reply. I thought I'd include it on today's program for you. You've probably seen the video already as well. The thing about it is, holy moly, the minute there's any Tesla bad news, it just makes just about every news outlet, and every outlet as well that wouldn't normally write about electric cars. I mean, just like mainstream newspapers and websites, not, they all have run with this story. And of course, a Tesla on fire, well, that is great clickbait, right? Well, moving on, and Motor1.com has new spy shots of the Mercedes EQC in what they call a near-production prototype, with the hashtag all down the side of the car in massive letters. The hashtag is Switch to EQ. I like that, Switch to EQ. Obviously, that's the phrase that Merck are going to be using. Well, according to Motor1, the black and blue body cover, this new wrap they've put over it, has this big splash of colour at the back, where Mercedes have slapped a red strip all over the tailgate. On the tailgate level, tail light level, we can see that tape extends all onto the rear fenders as well. Even though the body design remains largely concealed under the wrap, I think most people can work out what the EQC looks like now. It's not a massive secret, the style of the car, because you might have seen some videos and things on YouTube. It looks substantially different to any other Mercedes SUVs, like the GLC. Well, Motor1 says the large mesh grille up front, it looks like a grille, tricks you into believing it has a conventional grille, but being fully electric, doesn't need one. The pictures show that the concept car has a panel mimicking the appearance of a traditional grille, and they are expecting the production version to have a similar look. At the back, though, that red tape all over the taillight level, well, that could be a clue suggesting that it's going to have a full-width light strip, a bit like the show car, and it's very blingy. That would be so cool. A little thought, by the way, that just came to me as I was talking to you about that grille, by the way. Remember when iPhones were first released and Steve Jobs and I think it was Scott Forstall at the time who was looking after the iPhone design, the very first version of iOS, and for a few years, actually, they would try and mimic other things inside. So when you'd open, you'd click on the notepad icon, the notepad would be kind of yellow with lines on, and it would have kind of a leather embossed graphic to make it look like you were typing a note on a, it was saying, this is like a notepad on your desk, make some notes here. And then when we all had smartphones and we all knew what the notepad was for, well, then that all went away. And I wonder if that's going to be the same with EVs. Do you reckon we're going to see a few years of a lot of EVs looking like, from the big makers, by the way, looking like and aping the design cues of traditional cars? Or are they going to be bold and just go for something that where the function leads the form, if you like? Which you could argue the new Jaguar I-Pace, because there's people who are big critics of the fact that the back end of that is just cut off, like the boot is just straight down. And if you listen to the designers of the Jaguar I-Pace, that's the best thing for reducing drag. So they were led by what's the most efficient. But I wonder if some of the other makers are going to think, you know what, people expect to see a grill, so put a fake grill on the front. Well, Michael Keltz, the chief engineer for EQC, says this about their hot weather testing they're also doing at the moment. With the finishing line in straight, we are now able to absolve another extremely demanding test program with our pre-series vehicles. But after successfully completing endurance tests in winter at minus 35 degrees C, we're confident the heat trials will confirm we are well on schedule for the start of series production, end quote. And that series production is... they're not saying. I'll put a link to the articles in the show notes, by the way. Well, staying with Mercedes, meanwhile, Anthony Carr is writing about the new Mercedes A-Class and the fact that it's going to have a plug-in hybrid version next year. Autocar claims the hybridized powertrain of the A-Class plug-in is going to combine a small 1.3-litre gas engine up front, but still pretty powerful, 163 horsepower, but an electric motor on the rear axle. That's going to be a pretty decent size, 90 horsepower. That's a 66 kilowatt motor. Not enough for an EV on its own, but a good amount of power, right? And that layout would basically turn the A-Class into a four-wheel drive, an all-wheel drive vehicle, hence the A250E 4MATIC name, which has been predicted. Of course, no full BEV A-Class on the cards. They're going to start again with their new architecture for that size of car. And the if you follow the naming pattern, it's going to be the Mercedes EQA. Well, moving to Nissan. And this is interesting. Nissan has halted all development of any future fuel cell cars. Well, company officials have concluded that demand for the vehicles is not going to take off anytime soon, at least. That's according to NHK in Japan. Nissan announced plans 5 years ago now, in 2013, to develop fuel cell cars with Daimler of Germany and Ford of North America. But now Nissan says the high vehicle price tags and the delay in setting up any kind of meaningful hydrogen station network means there's no market potential. So they're drawing a line under that. Obviously, companies like Toyota with the Mirai, they are still heading towards that. And you can see why the oil companies would want them to do that as well, because at the minute, it's looking like you're not going to have to go somewhere in 5, 10, 15 years' time. Anyone's not going to have to go anywhere to fill up their car with energy. And there are a lot of forecourts that are going to be empty. But if they can persuade us all to switch to hydrogen, well, they get to keep our custom and they get to set the prices. Whenever I talk or tweet about Kia, like the Kia Soul EV or the new Kia Niro EV or even the Hyundai Kona EV, always gets a big reaction. And those Korean cars are finding a fair few fans around the world, but not least at home in Korea. Well, Kia Motors said 2 days ago that 7 out of every 10 Soul models in Korea earlier this year was the EV variant. 7 out of 10 was the Kia Soul EV. Overall sales jumping 13% year on year. Gas and diesel Souls are available in the domestic market, but people just don't want them. They want the electric version. And in terms of sales, it's a growing demand for all EVs in Korea. So, of course, what with Hyundai Motors and their subsidiary Kia having a big domestic interest in EVs, that's great for electric cars, but if you wanted to get your hands on the Kona or the Niro EV, it just means that I think they will satisfy a lot of that domestic demand first. Now, we have read some articles, not really recently, but months ago now, from the Korean press saying that they have increased the production on what they were going to do for those two new models, but it's still not going to be massive numbers and demand will still outstrip supply. That's looking like the current prediction, not that they've ever confirmed how many they're going to be making per week, per month, per year. Well, following Tesla's example of having places that you can go along and experience cars and not get the hard sell, Renault opened an experience centre in Stockholm earlier this year, and now they've just opened their second. It's in Germany, in a busy shopping centre. According to Sebastian Blanco at Forbes, he says there are digital and static displays giving you information about EVs and the purpose of the store to engage with people and answer any questions about electric cars, and it promotes the general benefits of all EVs. Well, you can book a test drive in a Renault EV, so that would be a Zoe then, and you can even buy one in store as well. Now, he says that given Nissan is the global vehicle EV leader in terms of 300,000 Leafs having been sold, is there an argument that Nissan, obviously part of the Nissan-Renault-Mitsubishi alliance, would want to do the same thing in North America? Would Nissan want a series of storefronts, maybe in big malls, to let you go in, see the Leaf, have a little play with it inside, and then organise a test drive, and maybe even eventually buy one? Well, that's not so easy. If you're listening to us around the world and not familiar with the rules in America, you can't just start selling cars because of some rather archaic rules. I'm not being disrespectful, but it seems kind of weird in the land of capitalism that you can't just sell a car. No, there's rules that Tesla's been fighting for many years that protects the establishment and protects the current car dealer. So Nissan couldn't open one in a mall and start selling you cars, but they could do everything else. Would you go along to one of those? Would you go along with your friends or family, people who aren't into EVs yet, but it would get them in a car and playing around with it? Let me know in the comments, either on YouTube or the blog, or connect on the socials, and let me know, would you go? Would you like to see more of those kind of things? Well, staying in Japan then, and Japan's NEDO, it's the New Energy and Industrial Technology Development Organization. It's launched a second phase of a really major solid-state battery project in their quest to achieve solid-state batteries for EVs. That is a report by Green Car Congress. The project ultimately has their eye on a price, and that is $90 per kilowatt hour. Now, it's going to be a way off, by the way, because they've got a lot of work to do on solid-state batteries, but they want to bring it down to that price level. They want to target fast charge times of 10 minutes is that fully charged? That 80% charge? I mean, it must be that in about 10 minutes. And, of course, fast charge times, but so many at the moment obstacles to overcome with solid-state batteries, but mega, mega money, $90 million being invested. $90 million US dollars equivalent of the yen that they are investing into solid-state batteries. Well, last weekend, on Sunday, San Francisco's Zero Motorcycles started an 8-stop tour across the UK, and they're giving riders the chance to test ride the company's latest models, reports riderpart.com, and shared via Inside EVs. One of the biggest obstacles, they say, in electric motorcycles is that manufacturers haven't quite overcome this yet. It's not merely churning out a quality product, but convincing people to try an electric motorcycle. Well, with the electric powertrain's full torque available at any point, EVs are a lot of fun. Now, Zero's UK country manager, Dale Robinson, says this, and I quote, "Riding a Zero is quite an experience, so we've decided to go out and take our bikes to the people to give them the opportunity to ride one for themselves. Lots of people have preconceptions about electric motorcycles, but I never meet anyone who didn't come back from a test ride with a big old smile on their face. There's no hard sell at these events, just your chance to ride the bike, ask any questions, and it's going to be travelling the UK. June 24th in North Yorkshire, June 27th in Hampshire, July 21 and 22 in Northumberland, August 18 and 19 in Scotland, and September 19th in Surrey. If you make your way along to one of those, take some pickies and send them to me. I'd love to know what that's like for any electric motorcycle listeners to the podcast. Finally, yesterday you and I were talking about the Jaguar Power Boat. Jaguar's designed and engineered with Williams Engineering electric record-breaking EV on the water. And now Norway's first electric aircraft is just 6 days away from takeoff. The electric aircraft is the Alpha Electra G2. It's produced in Slovenia, and it is scheduled for takeoff from Oslo Airport next Monday afternoon. The plane can carry two passengers, recharge time in 2 hours. Now, Anja Bakken Riise of the Norwegian environmentalist NGO, Future in Our Hands, says this, and I quote, "Unnecessary flights contribute to damaging the world's climate through enormous carbon dioxide emissions. This aircraft shows it's possible to fly on electricity. The point of the flight is to show it's possible." End quote. Looking forward to seeing pictures and video of that, funnily enough. Well, getting on to some of your comments from yesterday's podcast and the weekend shows as well. And hi to Barry. Thank you so much for sending me an email. If you want to do the same, it's hello@evnewsdaily.com. That's hello@evnewsdaily.com. He's talking about, firstly, we were talking about thermal management. He was saying that he owns the e-Golf, and also talking about the Leaf as well. And he was saying that actually maybe you could talk about passive cooling and passive heating on battery packs. There's no liquid cooling, there's no active thermal management, but the way that I described it a few days ago, he says, sort of implied that there was no effect on the battery, that Nissan hadn't built that in. He said, well, there is heating and cooling, but it's passive, not active. And you rely on conduction through the body of the car and stuff. So can you please call it passive cooling? It's a good shout, and I will do on the podcast from now on. And Barry also says, talking about charging stations, and I was saying, just stick them in at the very far end of car parks. Put charging points in the places that are always free. When you go to the mall or you go to the supermarket, there's always those spaces as far away from the door that no one uses because we are all lazy and we all circle the car park looking for the space that's nearest. And he says, I have a friend who works for a charging station installation company. And he says the largest cost that they come up against when putting charging stations in isn't the capex on the equipment, but trenching and wire laying and construction costs outweigh everything else. Therefore, if it's cheaper to put charging stations close to the front door, next to the disabled bays and the parent and child bays, well, then that's why those bays are there. Really good point. I wish they weren't. I wish they put them where nobody would ice them. And hi to Gasper, who on the comments section of the little WordPress blog we've got, evnewsdaily.com, we're talking about the Le Mans car, by the way, and I was saying that it was great that a hybrid, even though it's a big gas guzzler, but a hybrid car won Le Mans over the weekend, and he was saying that the capacity of the Toyota hybrid battery doesn't really matter, only meaningful if the combustion engine fails and you want to cruise back slowly to the pits to retire the car. He was saying that his guess would be that those Le Mans cars, you see those kind of prototype crazy racing cars in the endurance championship, has about 3 to 6 kilowatt hours of battery storage in, that they've recently raised the temperature the batteries can work at to 85 degrees C. The voltage is 815 volts. This is amazing info. Thank you so much. And also that last year they had problems because the motor was also driving the AC cooling for the battery, and this year they changed it, hence there was no reliability worries this year. 24 hours of a hybrid pounding round Le Mans, and it won with no problems whatsoever. Thank you so much for your comments, by the way. And if you want to share those about what we've been talking about today, join in the conversation, Facebook, Twitter, search EV News Daily, and on the YouTube comments and things like that. I love to read them. Well, in the meantime, if you don't want to make a comment, you can always share the podcast with somebody, you know. And it would be great if you would do that. We put the podcast on iTunes, on Google Play, even on Spotify, which is awesome if you love Spotify. I put the audio on YouTube and on TuneIn for any Tesla Drivers on Stitcher and on SoundCloud and iHeartRadio podcasts. Of course, the blog is evnewsdaily.com. If you want to subscribe, well, then you get it first and free and automatically. Come and say hi on the socials. And in the meantime, have a wonderful day and I'll catch you tomorrow.